Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, and I'm reading today from the words of Henry Morris, a scientist, a Christian, a man who wanted to get it right, who wanted God's people to believe God's word. We would call him an apologist, perhaps, today. Covered a lot of things that people ask about. One thing that people ask about is the Trinity, and I want to say before I begin reading that there's no man that can explain the Trinity, and there's no science that can defend the Trinity. However, if you believe in the Trinity already, the Father, Son, and the Spirit being three and one at the same time, I think you will delight in the words that Mr. Morris will give you today. We're closing this chapter called Modern Science in the Bible, with a very brief and inadequate mention of the most sacred and most profound doctrine of the Holy Scriptures, says Mr. Morris, the doctrine of the triune God. All true Christians believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and that these three, though distinct from one point of view, constitute only one God. Many, of course, have scoffed at this idea that God is one person and at the same time three persons. It's contrary to established and inalterable mathematical principles, they say, for Christians to maintain that 1 + 1 + 1 = 1 rather than 3. It is unscientific and foolish. They are agreed that the God of the universe, even though they should grant for the moment that he might be a real personality, could be both one personality and three personalities at the same time. Therefore, it follows for them that Jesus was not God in the biblical sense at all. However, as Dr. Nathan Wood, former president of Gordon College, has shown in a very remarkable volume, the doctrine of the Trinity is not only sound mathematically, but is reflected in all true science in such a wonderful way that the assumed fact of an eternally existing triune God is an inductive necessity before the universe, as science knows it today, can be explained at all. The doctrine of the Trinity is nowhere set forth in the Bible as an explicit doctrine. Rather, it appears indirectly, and yet perfectly naturally, as Jesus speaks of himself and of the Father and of the Holy Spirit. Always the logical, causal order presented is, first, God the Father, the unseen source and cause of all things. Second, God the Son, who tangibly and visibly reveals the Father to man and who executes the will of God. And third, God the Holy Spirit, who is unseen and yet reveals God the Son to men through the media of other men and the word which he inspired, and who makes real in the hearts and lives of men the experience of fellowship with the Son and the Father. Yet this is not an order of importance or length of existence. All are equally eternal and equally God, one God. The Son is presented as begotten of the Father. The Spirit as proceeding from the Father through the Son. Now, consider the physical universe, which logically should reflect in a very intimate way its Creator. All knowable things in this universe may be classified under the heads of space, matter, or time. Now, space, at least as far as we can comprehend it, consists of exactly three dimensions, each equally important and absolutely essential. There would be no space, no reality, if there were only two dimensions. Three distinct dimensions exist, yet each comprises the whole of space, yet there is just one space. Note that to get the cubical contents of any certain confined space, one does not add the length and breadth and width, but rather he multiplies them together. Analogously, the mathematics of the Trinity is not 1 + 1 + 1 = 1, but 1 × 1 × 1 = 1. The analogy is even more striking in matter. The new physics has come to regard matter more and more as simply tremendous energy in motion. And depending on the rates and types of motion, there are then various phenomena presented to our senses: sound, color, heat, texture, hardness, and so on. Energy is the unseen source manifesting itself in motion and thus producing phenomena. Matter involves these three phases, and no other that can not rightly be included in one of these. Each is distinct, yet each involves the whole of matter, and none of the three can exist by itself without the other two. Energy is first in a logical causal order, but not in order of importance or precedence. Motion, which embodies, reveals, and is begotten of energy, is the second. Phenomena proceed from motion and comprise the ways in which motion itself touches and affects men, even as the Holy Spirit reveals the Son, and through Him, the Father to men. And finally, the last of the triad, time, is one entity but consists of the future, the present, and the past. Each contains the whole of time and yet is distinct and further cannot exist without the other two. The future is the unseen source of time and is embodied and made real moment by moment in the present. The past then proceeds from the present, becoming invisible again, yet continually influencing us with regard to the present and even, to some extent, the future. Furthermore, the three basic entities unite to form the space, mass, time continuum which constitutes the physical cosmos itself. Space is the invisible, omnipresent background manifest everywhere in matter, or more generally, energy, interpreted and experienced through time. Thus, the physical universe is actually a trinity of trinities, a tri-universe in the fullest sense. But this same remarkable phenomenon can be seen in the realm of human life as well. The Bible says that man was created in the image of God, so this should be expected. Notice that each individual is a person who can be physically observed and described. But back of that person is his nature, which is unseen and yet is the source of all that the person embodies. But that person, and through the person his nature, is known to other men only through his personality, which is an unseen, intangible thing. Yet the means by which the person touches the lives of others. So human life consists of three things: nature, person, and personality, and no others. Although they are equally important and equally the whole of the man, yet they always exist in the above logical order. None of the three can exist without the other two. The nature is the source revealed and embodied in the person. The personality proceeds from the person. It is invisible, but is felt by and has influence on the lives of others in regard to the person. And thus man is, in minute detail, a finite reflection of God, who made him in his own image. It is true that sin has marred even this finite reflection. Nevertheless, man still reflects the image of God in an even more significant way than does the physical universe. This same triunity seems to pervade everything in life. Every moral action of man consists of, first, the motive, second, the act, and third, the consequences. The same relations apply among these as among the triunities we have already mentioned. Similarly, all forms of thought or reason proceed logically from the universal to the particular things, to that thing as related to other things. This triunity of source, manifestation, and meaning, it could be further noted in many other areas of the world and life, but even this brief discussion should suffice to indicate something of the basic system of three-in-oneness pervading the whole creation. While these facts cannot be held to prove that the creator of the universe and of life is a triune being, it should be obvious that such a cause would be eminently adequate to account for all these facts. It is certainly difficult, and perhaps impossible, to formulate any other hypothesis as satisfactory as this to account for the existence of such universal triunity in nature. The doctrine of the Trinity is no unscientific aboriginal absurdity, but an intensely scientific and tremendously important living reality. God was manifested and revealed by and in His Son, who as a man was Jesus Christ. There can be nothing more important for any individual than to become rightly related to this triuniverse and its triune God. This means unreserved acceptance of Christ, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Colossians 2:9. I'll bet you've never thought of that before. Next time, in this same book called The Bible and Modern Science by Henry Morris, written back in 1951, in this same book we'll move on to the theory, and it's still a theory, of evolution, the theory of evolution. And you can imagine where he's going to go with that. Your Bible is not at stake here. It's going to be proved to be the true Word of God in every word. Thank you for listening. Do look around the site. Some of the audios, we have hundreds of them now into the thousands. We've got great preachers and persecution stories from North Korea in both English and Korean. Got a lot of Bible studies on a number of subjects. We have more things outside this site. My YouTube channel, known as Pasture Lands, or my books at Amazon.com. Just put my name and the name of something that you hear right here on Sermon Audio, and it'll come up as a book. Contact me at bob.j.faulkner.72@gmail.com, and I'll tell you all about our Zoom meetings, too. Well, this is the Hackberry House of Chosun, and this audio is being released on July 28, 2022. Lord willing, we do get to talk again real soon. Bye-bye.